Welcome to the Deep Dive. We sift through some amazing sources to pull out the core ideas and hopefully give you that aha moment. Today, we're diving into something really profound, Job chapter 17. It's quite a raw look at suffering, but also spirit. Our mission basically is to pull out the key insights from Job's lament, see how they connect to, well, all of us and how they might resonate today. Especially thinking about strengthening our trust, maybe our relationship with something deeper. We want to see Job not just as, you know, some historical figure, but maybe reflecting our own struggles with despair, integrity, and hope. So picture this. A man who's lost everything, he's literally sitting in ashes, and he's voicing this deep pain and confusion. And the people around him, his friends, they're just not getting it. They're almost making it worse. Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with his despair. Job kicks off chapter 17 with words that just hit you. They feel so heavy. He says, my breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. Think about that phrase, corrupt breath. Back then, that wasn't just like having a cold.
No, it was much deeper.
Yeah, right. It was like his whole being felt tainted, falling apart, his life force decaying. He feels his days are extinct, not just ending, but like snuffed out, gone.
Utterly extinguished.
Yeah. And the grave, it's not some far off thing. It's right there waiting. It's this picture of complete exhaustion, physical and emotional.
And what's really striking, and I think deeply relatable even now, is how this experience shows something timeless.
Mm.
Despair can just completely isolate you. He's not just physically alone. He feels cut off from everything. From people, sure, but also it feels like hope itself has abandoned him.
Which just makes the suffering worse, right?
Exactly. It warps your perception, even maybe things meant as comfort. He hears them as mockery because his internal world is just filled with this suffering. Understanding feels impossible.
And you hear that isolation in his words. Verse 2, he cries out, are there not mockers with me? And doth not mine eye continue in their provocation?
Yeah.
He's basically saying, aren't these guys constantly poking at me? Don't I feel their accusations like a burn?
And he's talking about his friends, the ones who came to comfort him.
Yeah, but their whole theology was kind of rigid, wasn't it? Like, suffering must mean sin.
Right, which turned their comfort into what felt like relentless mocking to Job.
And later, he just says, flat out, I cannot find one wise man among you. He feels like his plans, his purposes, even the thoughts of his heart are broken off.
Mm-hmm.
And he just accepts the grave. It's heartbreaking, that level of solitude.
It really is. And this breakdown with his friends, it points directly to something really crucial for us today. The importance of just being present with someone who's suffering.
Ah. Okay.
The big mistake Job's friends made, you know, their failure, was trying to explain it all away, give advice, moralize.
Instead of just being there.
Exactly. When someone's in that deep pain, sometimes the best thing, the most powerful thing, is just empathy, a quiet presence, not jumping in to fix it.
We do feel that pressure, though, don't we, to fix things?
We absolutely do.
Yeah.
But their attempts to find a reason actually made Job feel more alone, more desperate.
It's a huge lesson. Sometimes just sitting with someone in their pain, no judgment, is the real act of love.
Couldn't agree more. Just holding that space.
Okay, so he's in this pit of despair, feeling attacked. But here's where it gets really interesting, I think. Despite all that pain, feeling abandoned, the accusations, Job holds on to his integrity.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
It seems so counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
Everything's falling apart. He thinks he's dying, but he doesn't let go of his core sense of who he is. Listen to this, verse 9. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger.
Wow.
It's almost defiant, isn't it? Even in the worst suffering, he insists on his righteousness. He believes he lived uprightly no matter what things look like on the outside.
He doesn't curse God. He doesn't lash out destructively, even though he feels completely let down.
He doubles down on his inner truth.
And this points to another piece of, well, ancient wisdom. Mm. You can maintain integrity despite suffering. Job refuses to compromise his character, even with the mockery, the injustice he feels so strongly. Mm-hmm. And the book really, it acknowledges this painful reality that, you know, injustice isn't new. Good people suffer. Sometimes wicked people seem to thrive.
We still see that. We still grapple with it.
Absolutely. And the insight here isn't just bad things happen to good people. It's that holding on to your integrity when that happens. That itself is powerful. It's an act of defiance, a source of inner strength, especially when all the external stuff is gone.
Okay, so if that's the ancient wisdom, what does that mean for us, you know, today? In a world that often seems to value success over character.
Right. Well, the application seems clear. Protect your integrity.
Even when it's hard.
Especially when it's hard. Life doesn't always reward doing the right thing immediately. That's a tough truth. But staying upright when you're under pressure, making choices that align with your values even if it costs you something, that builds, as the source said, an unshakable character.
Unshakable character. I like that.
And that's valuable in the long run. Way more than, you know, temporary rewards or what other people think. It's about cultivating this inner strength that doesn't depend on external circumstances.
Yeah.
Resilience forged in fire.
It's a long game then. Character development.
The longest game? Maybe. But the most worthwhile investment.
Okay, so integrity gives inner strength. That brings us to this, like, gut-wrenching question at the heart of the chapter. Job cries out, verse 15, "And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it?"
Yeah.
It's just so raw, it feels universal. What do you do when everything you hoped in is just gone? Where do you even look?
Exactly. And his question, it's more than just pain. It's like an invitation for us to think to. Where do we put our hope? Because if it's all tied up in success, relationships, health, stability, what happens when those things fail? And sometimes they do.
It forces you to look deeper.
It really does. Is our hope anchored in something temporary or something more enduring? This really gets to the core truth. Hope has to go beyond circumstances.
Which connects right back to our focus, doesn't it? Strengthening trust, that relationship with God or something deeper.
Precisely. The modern application is about anchoring hope in something deeper. For believers, that means consciously turning to God's promises, especially when your situation looks bleak.
When there's no other visible reason for hope.
Right. It's in those moments of despair, when the world has no answers, that you're invited to lean into a trust that goes beyond what you can see.
And doing that, that act of faith, that's what strengthens the relationship.
I believe so. It's not about pretending the pain isn't there. It's about placing your trust in something unchanging within the pain. For others, maybe it's holding on to core values, love, justice, purpose, things that outlast personal loss. But having that deeper anchor, it's vital for finding any kind of peace or resilience.
That makes sense. And thinking about all this, there's another piece Job models that we shouldn't skip over. His emotional honesty.
Oh, absolutely.
He doesn't hold back, does he? He talks about his grief, his depression, his confusion, without any shame. In a world that often tells us to, you know, be positive, put on a brave face, Job's vulnerability feels really powerful. So what does that mean for us?
I think it's like permission. Permission to be honest about our own struggles.
Yeah.
He doesn't sugarcoat it. He lays his despair right out there. And that honesty, it doesn't make him weaker. It actually allows the depth of his struggle to be seen and eventually understood.
So vulnerability can be a strength.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially now as we talk more about mental health. Job's ancient example shows that being open about pain isn't weakness. It can lead to connection, to healing, and to really engaging with that. Something deeper, honestly.
Okay, so we've journeyed through Job 17. We saw deep despair and isolation and learned about just being present.
Right.
Then the surprising power of integrity, even when things seem unjust, how it builds that unshakable character. And finally, the absolute need to anchor our hope beyond our circumstances, trusting something deeper, and the importance of being honest about our struggles. This isn't just some old story. It feels alive. It offers so much for strengthening trust, especially if you're seeking that deeper relationship with God or just with lasting purpose.
It really does. This deep dive reminds us that even when things feel completely dark, when earthly hope is gone, there's this invitation.
An invitation.
Yeah, an invitation to place our hope beyond what we can see. To find an anchor in something lasting, something trustworthy, that's where real resilience, that unshakable character, and maybe even peace can be found. It helps you navigate the storms, you know,
yeah,
with a deeper grounding.
That's a powerful thought to end on. So for everyone listening, reflecting on these insights from Job, how will you apply this in your own life, especially when you face those moments of despair or injustice? How might this reshape your trust in what's truly unshakable? Something to think about.